older, man, the sex gets less. The so everything gets less.
Yeah, between work, school, and PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, the fucking time's taken up.
Damn priorities.
Damn priorities, and it's PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, school, and work. So let's get the priority.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Let's get the priority lineups.
Work is always at the bottom. That's one of the things that you got to do so you can get back to the shit that you really care about.
Yeah, that's that. Do I have enough money to buy food? Fuck it, I don't need to go to work today.
Is the power of the internet still on? All right, we're good.
Yep, exactly.
I'm telling you, that's how you could end, like, wars, crimes, things like that. If somehow you could find a way where you could work just enough so you can have a little house, like, all you would have basically is a room and then maybe, like, a bathroom, and that's it. And then they gave you, like, some kind of stipend if you did, like, a little bit of community service, and it's just enough to have internet, power, and food.
You don't even need a bathroom, but they give you a bucket with a fucking one of those damn pool those damn little pool noodles wrapped around it so you can sit down in it and take a shit and piss and just pitch it out the window. You're fine.
I mean, man, it's like if you throw in Netflix and there's all no reason to leave the house.
All you really need is a running sink so that you can do the cat bath, you know, and you're good.
I think that's how The Matrix started. Back with a new show deep in the basement. Professionalism turned off, screw the ad placement. Skit comedy trolling, plate full of dough. People get offended, you don't get the show. And welcome to another episode of You Don't Get the Show. I am J.A. LaRock, he's Randy. What's up?
What's up, player? Been a long time.
It's been a while.
Shit, we might have like about 30 views on this video now. Man, we lost a couple people. It's been a while. Yeah. They've been like, damn, these fucking guys, they don't do shit no more.
It's about getting out content, you know. It's repetition and longevity.
Real life.
Same thing with sex. Yes. Same fundamentals.
Exactly. Got to follow the right thing. Consistency.
Oh man.
You know,
I have to say, speaking of like some of our last shows. So, for people that don't know this, even though you should if you've watched the show, is we have our full show. And then we also, usually a week or so later, chop it up into segments. And one of our shows, it's always great because, like, when we talk about our clickbait segment, how popular it is, we know this because we look at the views and how many people are looking at it compared to other subjects. And I really understand why the media, television, everything that people complain about, I see why they do what they do because it's like people say, oh, I want this kind of content. I want that kind of content. But when you look on YouTube, what's the top videos? It's either some person getting their ass beat or a cat or titties. So it's, come on, man. They're giving us what we want. The only one that was kind of different is when we did the one on Geek Salad about the – well, no, it was on You Don't Get the Show about the racist games. And then I said the one about the alt-right.
Oh,
that pissed
yeah.
a couple of people off.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We got views, though.
That's all that matters, man.
that was what it was.
But they were angry.
Dude, they were like flinging shit. It was like we were sitting there with Dodge shit on the side. It was coming out the monitors.
Yes, there is.
It's like looking at that, which is funny. Like you say, it's like you realize like our clickbait segments get like triple or quadruple the views of all the other segments. And it's like, we're going to have to sit there and do a literally clickbait only show.
Yeah,
that way
seriously.
The whole show gets a ton of clicks on it, and we'll have the individual videos.
See, that's how you do it. That's how you become a millionaire.
This is how we do it. This is how you get that $5 check from YouTube in the fucking mail.
If they don't ban your channel for some bullshit when it's time
exactly.
to pay.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Now we got to worry about that, too. We can't do an all clickbait show, because then they'll flag the channel as inappropriate for ads.
Or someone else that's jealous will do it.
So what we gotta do is like the turd sandwich. You do clickbait, regular clickbait. That way it's not all clickbait, and then we can get paid.
Yeah, it's kind of like when you're with a girl and she makes you go fabric shopping because you know that afterwards you get to hit it. But first, you got to go through that bullshit.
Yeah, you gotta go through that aisle and go, like, there's fucking 90 of them. Which one do I pick?
So both of us, we love PCs. You know, we love the PC Master Race. And there's always debates. There's console wars. There was all, you know, you had the Nintendo versus Genesis. You have PC versus console. You have NVIDIA versus ATI. But
and then you have the big Intel versus AMD. That's the other big one.
And this, the whole debate with video cards, I mean, it's one thing. I've seen flame wars that went on for pages and pages and pages, and it's crazy. And that's one thing, to be flaming and saying whatever on the internet. You're anonymous or whatever. Who cares? These people in Russia, they took it to a whole new level. Now, since our country is soon going to be ran by Russia, I think that this story is important to us so we can understand our new citizens. Or are we becoming their citizens? I don't know. I'm not sure.
I don't know, but it'll be interesting, that's for sure.
So apparently, out in Russia, there's a story reported, and this is a little bit old. This is like a year ago or so. But it's Russia, so things come a little slow to us. Apparently, there was an argument between two software developers, and they met up and they were having drinks. So that's usually how a lot of bad stories, or good stories depending, start. You know, you meet up for drinks, you get drunk. So these two start discussing like the difference between AMD and NVIDIA, and one of the guys decided to, hey, you know what? Fuck your shit. I don't like your shit. And he stabbed him. Now, to be fair, the NVIDIA guy is the guy who stabbed the AMD guy, and the AMD guy died. So we all know that NVIDIA is better, so I guess everything turned out okay on the end. But I just don't think that we should have went that far. I mean, it's a little bit much. Basically, the guy got arrested. Now, here's the strangest thing. I mean, it says here, he got sentenced after confessing for 9.5 years. Really?
Damn.
I've seen stories where somebody stole a candy bar and they got 10 years. This guy stabbed the guy to death and he only gets 9.5 years? What the fuck?
Damn, yo, things are different in Russia. You can kill somebody and only, you know, get 9 years. You're out in less than a decade? That's
maybe
crazy.
It's population control. They're like, hey, look, one guy's dead, one guy's in prison. The country's better.
Yeah, shit.
I mean, have you ever had debates like that? That was just, I mean, have you ever gotten that angry where you're, anything, where you're debating with somebody and they just either are not listening to you, they're using, like, terrible points, false facts, and you just feel like strangling them, but, you know, you keep it in?
So this is, what's funny about this is, if you remember Homer from Red Eye, me and him, like 2 years back when the PS4 and the Xbox, the X-Bone came out, got into a pretty heated debate about E3. Because if you remember the year that they announced the consoles, Xbox is all about like, oh, it's going to work with your TV and blah, 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 blah. Like literally it's hilarious the videos that they freaking put out there of how many times in their Microsoft presentation they mentioned TV. Like, there was a rolling count of, like, 60 times or something like that in an hour and a half presentation or whatever it was. And looking at the PS4 that year, it's like, okay, you can obviously see Sony pushed this machine towards gamers. And there was a lot of shit that, you know, Xbox or Microsoft announced for it that I was like, that seems stupid and ridiculous, and I wouldn't want to get one of their systems. So I was basically, I mean, and it started off as a comment that I put in my Facebook feed. Of course, all fucking arguments start in Facebook.
Yeah.
But I basically put, like, hey, like, it's clear to see that this year Sony, like, took the cake when it came to their presentations and shit. And I'm like, I know which console I'm going to get. And he starts firing back, like, both barrels, guns blazing, like a fucking desperado heading out of fucking town, just shooting off. He's going, starts talking about, oh, their stuff is crap and blah, 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 blah. And it got into this whole thing, and he kept trying to convince me. Now, it's funny as hell because he's always been a big, like, Microsoft person and Nintendo. We've both been Nintendo fans, which was hilarious. And he kept telling me, why didn't I ever get a Wii U? And I'm like, it wasn't that much of an upgrade over the Wii. And there really wasn't stuff that I played on the Wii itself. I mean, I had a Wii, and I sold it. But anyways. But it was this funny thing where it was like, we get into these debates where I'd have to just like, I can't, I gotta turn around and walk away because I'm gonna say something that is gonna ruin our friendship type of a shit. But it was like, it was so funny because he's like, oh, you're just a Sony fanboy. I'm like, dude, that's the pot calling the kettle black right there, man. Freaking, he's sitting there as a Microsoft fanboy yelling at this stuff. Like, I go, and he's like, I'm not a Microsoft fanboy. I'm like, dude, you're such a Microsoft fanboy. You fucking have a Windows phone. You and five people on this planet have a fucking Windows phone.
He probably has a Zoom, too.
You know? And fucking, although, hey, funny fact, I actually have one of those
motherfuckers. Oh, I had one back in the day, because it was, like, super cheap, and I was like, let me get that, because the iPod was too expensive.
Buddy, I still have this shit. I probably only have to replace the battery in this thing, and it probably still works.
That thing's heavy too, man. You could like knock someone out with that shit.
Yeah, it's got a fucking hard drive in it. That's why. Anyways, but it was so fucking funny because the other thing that made me laugh was one of the times he was arguing. He's like, man, this fucking shit sucks. I go, what? They're like, ways. And I'm like, why? They're like, because they stopped fucking updating it for Microsoft. I'm like, because fucking Google bought it. What do you think? They're going to keep freaking updating against their competitors and stuff? So it's like, it was so funny, just like this whole argument. Like,
it's so funny talking about the Windows phone because I remember when I had the Windows phone, I was looking at like how much space I had on it, hard drive space, and it was like very little. And it never really mattered because there was hardly anything in their software catalog to download. So mm-hmm. It was like, oh, okay. And then I remember getting like a cheap Samsung to start out because I didn't feel like buying a expensive phone yet. And it was, I think it only had like 2 gigs. I'm thinking, oh, that's plenty. I'm still thinking like a Windows phone guy. Next thing you know, you download it, and half the memory is already gone because of the freaking operating system. You download a couple of apps. They freaking patch every 3 days, and it's like at least 10, 15 megs, not more, per patch. And I'm like out of room. You can't even transfer. They're like, oh, you could transfer some to the SIM card. Yeah, maybe like 1 in 6. So you run out of space, and you're like, I paid $100 for this shit. Like, really, do I have to buy a $400 phone to be able to download just a couple of game apps? I mean, damn.
And the thing that was funny is eventually the thing that really made me laugh is our thing went from the Microsoft Sony to the Microsoft phone and me having an iPhone. And he's like, ah, you're just an Apple fanboy. I'm like, dude, I had an Android. I love the Android. I said, I had my information stolen off of it, and I switched to an iPhone for the security, and I've never been happier.
Wait, how'd that happen?
Oh, dude, I downloaded a freaking this is the thing that was fucking funny. So apparently somebody put an app on the App Store, and this was when, like, Bank of America first was, like, just starting to get their app out, and it looked like literally a duplicate of the legitimate thing, and I thought, like, it was the actual one. And he even said, like, from Bank, like, it looked legit. Either they sat there and put this code into that Bank of America app and, like, uploaded it over that, or I don't know how the fuck it happened. But I got it, and next thing I know, luckily I had only added, like, the card that I used to pay my bills and stuff. But all of a sudden, like, I start getting notifications of like, oh, hey, like your payment that you put through for this, like to pay my credit card didn't go through. And I'm like, what do you mean it didn't go through? You know? And then I logged in, and sure enough, here were all these like withdrawals from the account. And I'm like, motherfucker. And I'm like, the only thing that I had changed or done anything was do the app on the phone. And sure enough, like after I think about like a couple of days, I got a notification on the phone of like this app has been removed from the phone, like from the Android itself, like from through the operating system, because it got flagged as a fraudulent thing. So like I sat there and I'm like, that's fucking crazy. And it was funny because after that happened, when I upgraded, that I switched over, I got an iPhone 5. When I was sitting there and I was going to get the iPhone or the next Samsung, I wanted to look at reviews and what I saw. And I saw a ton of reviews, and it was the typical, like a lot of them were typical, like, oh, blah, 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 like this is why the Android's better. And then other ones were, oh, this is why the iPhone's better. And I found this one review, and I can't even remember who it was that did it, but it was the most, like, unopinionated review out of all of them. So the guy basically took both phones and said, I'm going to compare the two. He's like, we're not going to look at speed of processors. We're not going to look at how much memory the phones have. We're going to look at just the performance of the phone. And he sat there and opened up both phones and was messing around with both phones. So he's like, okay, so here's the Android phone and has this processor, this memory. Here's the iPhone that has this processor, this memory. If you look at it, they both work perfectly fine. They work smooth. They work fast. You know, these phones are meant with it. And he's like, if you sit there and you look at it, people are going to sit there and say, oh, but the processor on the Android's way faster. He's like, however, if you look at the iPhone, because Apple makes both the hardware and the software, it works so well together, it's like you can't even notice the difference of that speed of that processor or the memory on the phone. So the guy like started breaking it down like this. He says, screens, resolutions, I'm not even going to compare because they essentially use the same LCD and all that stuff in it. So resolution is going to be the same. Colors are going to be the same. There's nothing there. And then he sat there and says, so now I'm going to compare probably the biggest comparisons between the two is their app store. And he started by saying, if you look at the app store for the iPhone compared to the Google Play store, and this is way back when, he's like, right now there's a ton more apps on the Apple app store than there are for the Google. However, I foresee that in the future it'll all balance out and you're probably going to have the same amount of apps regardless. And then he sat there and he said, now if you sit there and you look at it, you want to do the biggest thing, like your biggest difference for wanting to get these two phones is security. And I said, and this guy goes, and this is why it happened. He says, on the Android phone, whenever a fraudulent app, you know, he's like, it's free to get a development kit. Doesn't cost you anything. So anybody can write an app for the store. You can upload it to the store. Your app becomes available. Anybody can download it. Now, if you decide to write a fraudulent thing to steal people's information, it'll go up to the store. It'll be out there. You can download it. So the only time that app will get removed from the store is if enough people complain about it, Google will then research it, find that it's fraudulent, and then take it off. He's like, Apple, on the other hand, he's like, you have to pay to become a developer to get a kit. Then you have to submit your application to Apple, which they have to review, and then once they give it the okay that it is fine, then it gets uploaded to the App Store, and people can download. So he's like, so if you sit there and you look at it, the Google Play Store is a more of a reactive type of thing to an app, while Apple's App Store is more preventative to make sure that the apps don't get up there in the first place type of a thing.
And it's funny, yeah, because when you hear, like, we were talking to, like, indie developers and things like that who make also app games, and they were saying how basically they hated it because some people got a bad reputation for phone games, because they'd be like, look at all these crappy games, and they're like, well, depending on which platform you're using, anyone can make a game and just be like, oh, like, you know, when they had Flappy Bird, and then like 50,000 people came out with clones, and like most of them were terrible. And like, you're right as far as it being like the Wild Wild West, because if you go and you search pretty much for anything, like, I remember before they linked Steam and before they linked like your Xbox Live account, before they actually had official apps, you could find something on there that said it would do that. It's like, oh, view all your Steam games, talk with your Steam friends. It wasn't from Steam. And it's like, you're going to get that and put in your phone and put in your information, your password and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm sure people did. And, you know, like you also said, it takes people reporting. So how long does it take? Maybe 10, 15, 50, 100 people getting ripped off before then?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
And that was the thing, that it was like, that was the one review that when I sat there and I said it, and because I became a victim of it, I said, you know what? And my whole thing when I switched over to the iPhone, I said, you know what? I'll give it a shot for a phone. If I really like it, I'll continue using it. If I don't, I'll go back to Android. And I've been an iPhone person ever since. And it's not a, ooh, I'm an Apple fan. Like, it's never, like, the other thing that drove me nuts about the Android phone was when I bought the phone, the OS that was on and everything, man, that freaking phone ran smooth as hell. Like, I can open up as many apps as I wanted to and all that. And, brother, after two major OS updates, I could barely use the phone. It runs slow as shit. I can only literally have the operating system and one other app open, and it just ran super sluggish. And I was like, nope, don't like it. I literally had a 5 that I went through three major OS updates, and by the third one, I noticed a difference in how, like it did go a little bit slower, but it still ran pretty smooth, and I could run my apps and stuff like that just fine. So that was a
big
thing.
What you think about is strange, because I've noticed the same thing. I've noticed that with any of my phones, especially if you don't get the $300, $400 phones, if you go for the ones that are $100, $150, those things will be pretty much useless. Even tablets, I've noticed this. I'm building a wall of old tablets that I use. Now, granted, I only paid $50. I didn't buy the expensive one. But you don't think that they're going to be slow and not even able to stream video within a year. Mm-hmm. And I guess you could say it's no big deal if you only paid $50, $60. And with the iPhone, it's strange enough because as many people are quick to go get the newest version, you actually can use an iPhone longer. I know people use the 3, the 4. You know, it's like they don't need to upgrade because it's still running decent.
Dude,
you have some of those old Samsungs, those shits ain't working no more.
I'll put it to you this way. Here you go. iPad 3. iPad 3, the bastard child of the iPads, because it was the shortest lived one. Still run. I mean, granted, it's slow as hell now because it's freaking showing its age. But you literally sit there and you look at it. The freaking 4 came out, the Air 2, the iPad Pro, and now they have that. It's been 5 years that I've had that iPad, and it still runs. I mean, I wish it ran. I wish it ran better. It is showing its age because of how old it is, and it's on its max OS on it. But it's like you said, like, you know, you front down the money, and I see it every day, like working at Apple. It's like you have people that they still bring in 4s and 4s's and iPad 3s and iPad 2s. And they're like, yeah, I use this to check my email and browse the web every now and then. That's all that they use it for. And it still runs perfectly fine. And it's one of those things, like you say, it really comes down to what you're comfortable spending. If you're cool spending $50 every 2 years to get a tablet, people do that shit. Like, my dad is the king of fucking... Do you buy a $150 remote or the $10 remote? My dad's like, fuck it, give me the $10 remote. He'll use that thing till he burns the shit out of it and then go out and buy another $10 remote. And he'll do that shit over time. And I'm like, Dad, why don't you just spend and it was funny because now that I say that, I had bought one of those because I got it on super ridiculous deal, but still, one of those, remember those Logitech Harmony remotes that you could program and all that shit?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I bought one of those fucking things. On sale, I got it at like $100-something from where I worked at. My dad must have bought fucking at least 30 remotes, and I still had my fucking Harmony working perfectly fine. And I'm like, Dad, you've probably spent the same, if not more, than what I spent on this remote, and this thing's still kicking. And he was that type of person where he was like, I don't know, whatever, I'll just spend the $10. It's $10. You know?
Oh, man. All right, so tell us about this.
We derailed completely again.
Oh, no, it was good, though. It's good. I like this.
So
this composer, man, this story is great.
So this is so funny because – so my man, good old man Jim Sterling, which I swear to God, I almost want to reach out to this man and see if we could fucking get him for an interview because I would love to pick his brain for 10 minutes because – he's like some of the stories that he does, like you listen to it and it is like at first I always thought, man, this guy's like really rough. Like I could see why people don't like him. But the more I viewed his stuff and the longer that I viewed his stuff, like when you sit there and you look at his point of view and how he says stuff, although it is brash, like he has such valid points when he sits there, he makes his arguments for stuff. And him just like Total Biscuit, another freaking like great fucking person to watch their editorial stuff. Like they are one for always, like when they find something that really isn't right, like they will fucking like hammer it down. They did the whole thing with G2A Gaming, which was phenomenal. And now apparently there is a composer for music for games that the big thing that's ended up happening is apparently there is a trying to remember, it's an indie game that's coming out that used this composer to write music for the games that he has. Now, they basically hired him in as a contractor, and in the contract that they wrote down that, hey, anything that you produce for this game becomes property of the maker of the game. So it was one of those things where, and the name of the game is called Star Mazer DSP. So what's ended up happening is apparently he wrote the music for this game, and apparently the developer of the game, him and the developer, got into a dispute over payment for his work. So what this guy decided to do was, any YouTuber that put up videos showing gameplay that had the music, he was putting in copyright claims against these videos. Now, the funny thing is per their contract, music isn't his. And number two, he's doing this not as of, hey, that's my work, you can't use it. He's using the copyright claims to bring this whole thing to light and play the victim of, like, I'm only doing this so that people find out what this developer is doing to me by not paying.
Isn't that like a person who is against guns shooting people so that they could bring awareness to gun violence?
Yes. So it's funny as hell because, like, both Jim Sterling and Total Biscuit was like, so if you're putting in a copyright claim for something that you don't own the copyright to, that's technically illegal. And the funny thing is that both of them said the same thing, where they're like, if you go and do this and these guys take you to court, they can use this as evidence against you.
Yeah.
And you can get thrown in jail for this shit.
I think this guy uses, like, the Trump version of defense. It's like, hey, I'm not guilty of stuff, and then he does stuff so that he ends up being guilty. I'm not being investigated, then he does stuff so he gets investigated.
And it's like, and that's the thing that it's, like, so funny. It's like, okay, I understand you want to get, like, your voice out there, your story out there of, like, hey, these guys are doing me wrong. But there's ways to do it. You don't go around saying, like you said, it's like a fucking guy that's against guns buying a handgun and going out to a fucking park or something and starts shooting people and see, guns are violence. You know, it's like, what the hell is that?
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, this guy could have went on maybe a YouTube show, found some people that do interviews with gamers, indie type streams or podcasts, and get his word out there. I'm sure between that and maybe a couple of articles on some top sites, he probably would have gotten out and actually had people feel some sympathy be on his side.
And the thing that's funny, and it's and also like both Total Biscuit and Jim Sterling go into it and saying that, like, the thing that's really messed up about this whole thing is the fact that these copyright claims went through, and that nobody at YouTube or Google, like, realized, like, wait a minute, this guy doesn't own the copyright to this and should have shut it down from the get-go. So they're like, you know, I mean, granted, if for that to have happened, like, they literally would have to have a human being look at every copyright claim, you know, and I am sure there's, like, a bajillion fucking copyright claims that get put through a day, and they can't all go through it, and they allow their algorithm to kind of, like, do it. But it's so fucking, like, messed up now, and it's funny to see how, like, you look at all this shit that's going on, and sadly, slowly but surely, like, you see all these, like, bigger YouTube personalities are slowly but surely leaving YouTube and going to, like, things like Twitch and things like that to stream, because they're like, screw it, if my content's going to get flagged inappropriate and I'm not going to get money for it anyways, I got to go get the money somewhere else.
Yeah, and the problem is that it won't just be companies. You can have people come in there and flag it. I remember even on Obsolete Gamer back in the day, we would have people come and try and flag us saying that, you know, we were providing, like, bad content or we were spamming or there was something on our page. And there's nothing there, but if you have an account with Google or something like that, they can shut you down for anything. Like, you can go search right now about thousands of people who were supposed to get money through AdSense, and they got banned. And they'll just say something generic like, you know, invalid click activity or something like that. And you can't, there's no customer service that you call and you could get this fixed. No, you can do an appeal, but it's like 99.9% you're going to get denied the appeal. So there's people that were going to get paid hundreds, maybe even thousands of dollars, and right before they're about to get paid, they get hit with this, and then all that money is gone. Their AdSense is closed, and they basically can never monetize their show. And this stuff can happen from outside sources, and you have nothing to do with it in the end. So it can be pretty jacked up. And like I said, I understand, based on what you said, why people would be like, you know what, if that's the case, I'm just going to go to Twitch or somewhere else. And eventually that will happen to YouTube. I mean, it's the biggest, but people are going to get tired of that eventually.
Yeah.
So
it's crazy, yeah.
You know, got to get that clickbait, as we said in the beginning.
Yeah.
Because you all like that. You know, sometimes people claim you don't like it, but the hits claim you do. So in this clickbait segment, we're talking about sex games that show up on Steam. Now, Japanese sex games have been around for a long time, and people love it. Like, I remember when I first saw Monster Girl Quest, and I was like, I can't believe that they have a game like this. And I ended up playing it, and I couldn't – what really was amazing about Monster Girl Quest is how much writing went into it, because it's basically a game where a guy is fighting against, like, female monsters that either want to eat him or have sex with him. And basically, if you give in and have sex with them, then that's how you lose. And basically, they take advantage of you. But – so you would think, okay, it's probably going to be some cheesy little game where it's just, like, whatever, some graphic – nudity and nothing else. No, there's a whole long story with a ton of dialogue. Like, they took time to make this. They took time to put the animation together that looked really good. And it's like, holy cow. So you can get these games usually on PC, and, you know, you can see everything. It's fine. Now, obviously, you want to be able to expand, diversify, get more fans in. So some of these developers have taken their games and sent them to Steam. So the problem here is that Steam, I guess, has this policy about adult content. But it's really weird how they did this, because, okay, I get it. You know, some of these games is just, they're a little bit over the edge, so I could see if they want to keep it kind of clean. But what they started doing is they'd censor these games. And if you look, what they do is, like, let's say in one of the scenes, you know, it's a bunch of ladies in the shower and they're showing everything. What they'll do is they'll just, like, take away the nipples, take away the naughty bits, you know, like, basically not blur them out, like, remove them. It's like, yeah, they castrated these people. And in other instances, they put clothes on them where there wasn't any clothes. Like, there's one where a lady's, like, bending over. And it's like, in the PC version, you get to see everything. In the Steam version, it's, they put on panties on this person. It's like, okay, that's weird enough. But as was pointed out in several articles, there's other games like Witcher that show things. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of weird that you have these Japanese games. You know, not all of them are super graphic where you're doing graphic acts of sex. Sometimes it's just a picture. And they'll blur that. But if there's, like, bare naked breasts in Witcher or something like that, you know, that's fine. And another thing that I found that was funny is the developers basically market this as a all-ages version of their game. And I'm like, yeah, I don't think Japanese sex games are made for all ages, but
yeah.
I guess I get the spirit of what they're talking about.
That's funny.
Have you ever played a Japanese sex game?
I have not, no.
I don't believe
it. I have. I mean, I've heard about it. Like, I know the one that they mentioned the most in the thing I had heard about, that Honey Pop one, was one of the ones that I remember when, like, I think it was Psychophone when they went to Kickstarter with it. Like, I remember the whole big, like, argument over it, that they were like, oh, yeah, they found out that Steam said that, nope, you can't do this, and blah, 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 blah. And, like, the funny thing is, like, some of the examples that they put in there, I think the whole, because I remember this one for a good long while, and it eventually turned into the whole, it's not because there's nudity and all that in it. It was more so, especially the one that they show the pictures of there with the girls that look like they're, like, half cat, half girl, mm-hmm. is that they were like, the when you look at the girls, they look like they're underage girls. So that was, like, the big kind of, like, taboo thing of why they started doing that. And, like, you know, people were saying, like, oh, but they shouldn't be like that, or they should offer two versions of the game, blah, 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 blah. And Valve, of course, was like, if it's going to be on Steam, this is the version you're going to get. So it's crazy because I think I had heard also, like, you could get the Steam version, and then the actual developer made it where you could, like, get things to patch over the one that was on Steam so that it would actually put the original pictures back in. That I think is something I read about that. So
yeah, like, they have one, like, a hentai patch or something.
Yeah. So it's like, it's this really weird thing. Like, I can see Valve's point of view of that. Like, okay, I can understand why they censored it and all that. But at the same time, it's like, well, shit, if they're going to bring these games over and all that, like, they might as well just bring it over how originally it was and da da da. I'm trying to remember what a game, that was another game that was the same shit. It was coming out and it was some weird, like, Japanese type of things, like those dating simulator type of things where they did the same thing on Steam. They, like, covered up or put extra clothes on.
I mean, hell, we were talking about Bone Town on our last episode, and it's like that came out, but, you know, they have to censor this stuff on Steam, which I get it. And you know, often here on You Don't Get the Show, we come up with money-making ideas that we beg our audience not to steal. Maybe we need, like, an adult Steam, you know? Because we can call it Steamy. There you go, Steamy.
There you go, Steamy. There we go.
All it is only adult.
Yeah, it's only adult games. That's it. We'll put all the fucking Legion Larry games on that shit. We'll put Bone Town on there. We'll put Custer's Last Revenge.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine? Could you imagine what the review section would be like?
Oh, God. I'm trying to remember. What the hell is the name? So, I can't remember the name on Steam. The game where you literally play as a fucking dick and balls. And the mini games is you got to guide the tip of your dick and then stick it into the butt end of the other players, because you got, like, it's a little dick and balls and you got an asshole in the taint. God, I can't remember. Yeah, I swear to God, I'm not making this up.
Oh, genital jousting? Is that?
Yes, genital jousting.
Oh my God!
You haven't seen that? Oh my God! That game, it is the. It is the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Oh, my God. It dances.
Yes.
And what are there, like, clothes on it? What is that?
Yeah,
like,
you can
armor?
Put clothes on it. Yeah, you put little clothes on it, and it's literally the idea of the game is you basically start out, and then, like, it's a multiplayer game, and you're trying to, like, penetrate one of the other little genitals while not getting penetrated yourself.
This is on Steam.
This is on Steam, yes.
I mean, you clearly see, wow, they're playing like soccer or something, and yeah. Then the penis is trying to go into the back end of the other one.
Yeah. It is the freaking most hilarious thing I had ever seen.
I love it. User reviews, recent, very positive, 110. Overall, very positive, 1,900 reviews. I guess people like this penetrating balls.
It is the funniest thing I've ever seen.
It's an early access game for $2.49, guys. So go out and get that shit.
It's on that Steam sale.
Early access.
I still say.
Or like rare access.
Recently posted. It's literally the third comment down. My buddy let me fuck him in the ass. Oh, my God. Holy crap. That is freaking funny.
You can really dick around in this game. It's like another
one. I let my friend penetrate me in this, but it's not gay, as it's just a game, right?
It's like Broforce, but gay.
Oh my God, dude. I, like I said, when I saw that thing, I was like, you have got to be kidding me. They actually made a game of it. And I remember, like, fucking Jim Sterling fucking did a review on it, and he was just like, okay? He's like... Oh, man.
Apparently, penis bots haven't been implemented into the game, so then you can't play, you know, by yourself. You have to play with someone else, which I guess could be a little bit awkward.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, man. All right, so we definitely, after that, we got to get our shows more, you know, closer to each other. I mean, life has been hell. But, you know, we got to bring it to you because, I mean, when we can find games like Genital Jousting, which I just learned today, I mean, damn. See what the show does for you?
Yeah, this is almost as mind-blowing as the when the show that I introduced you to, the Pokemon adult film.
Oh, my God, yes.
I remember your reaction, like, wait, there's a movie on that? I'm like, and my reaction is like, wait, you haven't seen it?
So we're definitely going to be bringing you more hard-hitting journalism like mm-hmm. this on our upcoming episodes. So stay tuned for that. But until next time, I'm J.A., he's Randy.
Hey. Peace.